It's time for the church to demonstrate moral leadership and show the world what it means to live in unity.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's message by Pastor Brian Grant is the first part of his message to the congregation at the Germantown Christian Assembly on February 25th in recognition of Black History Month. In this message entitled Restoring the Dream, Pastor Grant draws on lessons from the past to call on the Christian church to engage the unfinished business of racial healing within the church in order that the body of Christ might become the model of light that only the church can provide, a light that demonstrates the healing and unifying power of the gospel in this broken world, even as Christ intends. Since God's message always comes from God's Word, you might turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message, Restoring the Dream. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Vernon Jordan is a civil rights activist and very successful African-American lawyer. He once told us a story about his uncle, who was a sharecropper on a farm owned by a white family in Georgia. And Vernon Jordan, he said when he was 12 years old, he asked his uncle, he called his uncle Pop. He said, "Pop, you're now 70 years old and you have lived on this farm for over 40 years. He said, "Pop, what is the one thing you'd like to do before you die?" Pop spat out his tobacco, pulled himself up, and he said, "Junior, the one thing I'd like to do more than anything else is to use an indoor toilet in a warm room." That was as big as his dream could be. You know, I listened to Vernon Jordan tell that story, and I said to myself, what a tragedy it is that because of racism and because of segregation, so many Americans have grown up with such small dreams. You might miss that. There are so many Americans who have grown up with very small dreams. Perhaps I'm speaking to an American this morning, and you have a very small dream. This morning, we should thank God from people like Dr. Martin Luther King and others like him, who despite their tough circumstances, not only had big dreams, but were able to inspire others to dream big. I'm speaking today on the theme, Restoring the Dream. My thoughts initially reflected on the fact that Dr. King's dream has still not been realized. But God led me to a much greater dream. It's a dream that Jesus had, and it's a big dream. Jesus had a big dream for unity in his church. But almost 250 years after independence, this dream still has not been realized. The racial divide in the church in America still looms large. And since the church is still divided, it's no surprise that our society is still torn by racial strife. C.C. Goin was right when he said, "Broken churches, broken nation." Listen, until the church gets this right, the society will never get it right. This morning, God wants to challenge believers of every race, color, class, that it's time for a change. It's time for this broken church to get it together. It's time for the church to demonstrate moral leadership and show the world what it means to live in unity. It's time to restore God's dream. If this is to happen, there are at least three things that we must see. Oh, there are many more that I had, but I've confined it to three. The first thing I want to suggest to you this morning, number one, we must embrace God's dream. We must embrace God's dream. One of the big drivers behind racism and classism is our sinful nature's desire to feel we're better than somebody else. And one of the tragedies is that sometimes we think that this idea of racism and classism is defined or reserved for only certain races. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what race or color you are, you have a problem in this area. This thing is not exclusive. But Acts 17, 26 tells us that God has made from what? One blood, all men to dwell on the face of the earth. And we need to grasp that Acts 17, 26, God has made from one blood, all men to dwell on the face of the earth. You are not better than me, and I am not better than you. None of us are better than any of the others, because we're all made of dirt. White dirt, red dirt, yellow dirt, brown dirt, black dirt, it's all dirt. Wouldn't it be crazy if dirt could speak and you went in the yard and some brown dirt and black dirt, one was saying, I'm better than you. What a foolish idea that would be. How could one dirt be better than the other dirt? Listen, none of us are better than the other. We're just dirt. Oh, I hope you got that. Oh, you feel you're all so special. You're just dirt. You say, I got better blood than you. You don't got no better. I confess, I got bad blood. I got my blood through Adam. Where do you get yours from? We all got bad blood, but thank God the blood of Jesus can wash us clean. Amen? Listen, God's desire is for oneness in his church. That's God's dream. His dream. He desires oneness in his church. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 11, in case you missed it. Here is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. You know, this is really the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we say, Our Father who art in heaven is the Lord's Prayer. No, that's the model prayer. This is Jesus actually praying in John's Gospel chapter 17. And as he prays to his Father, he says, Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be what? That they may be one, as we are one. That's his dream, that we are one, just as he is one. Jump down to verse 20 of the same chapter. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you. Listen, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he said, Father, just like we are one, it is my desire that the Christians, those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, that they may be one just as we are one. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Oh, I'm running ahead of myself, but I hope you see that. When the church is disunited, it impacts our witness. No wonder our society is in chaos, because the church has failed the bottom line dream of Jesus, that we be one. He says that we might be one, that the world might see. Verse number 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be what? One. just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in. I could stop there. You can't miss it. You cannot miss it. God's desire is that the Christian church be one. But sadly, to our shame, the church played a significant role in America's ugly history of racism. Some Christian leaders even twisted the Bible to endorse slavery. I want to share two of the twisted scriptures that were used to support slavery. And I'm sharing this just in case there are people today who still misunderstand and believe that there is biblical reason to agree to the idea that some are better than the others. Oh my goodness, I thought that was clear enough. But turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And this is what they call the mark of Cain. You ever heard of the mark of Cain? This is where they got that from. And the whole idea, I'll tell you in a moment. Verse 15. And the Lord said to him, this is when Cain killed his brother. The Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And listen, here's this. The Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. I read that all my life, and I never knew that this mark was supposed to be my black skin. Do you know that people twisted the Bible and said that the mark that God put on Cain, the mark was black skin? And so Bible teachers and Christians came up with this ridiculous idea that the fact that people are black is a mark that God put on Cain, and it's a mark that has been passed on. So all these black people have this mark of Cain. But then they came up with what's called the curse of Ham. The curse of Ham. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 20. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. This is after the flood. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Cain, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. You see that? He cursed. Cursed be Canaan. Now listen to this. Without evidence, people concluded that Canaan settled in Africa. You see that Canaan was cursed. And you see that Canaan, it was said he was going to be a slave. They concluded that Canaan settled in Africa, and the dark skin of Africans became associated with this curse of Ham. As a result, some feel or felt they had biblical justification to enslave blacks because of this verse. You know, one of the things that tells us, if you come up with evil, you can take a verse out of context and support your evil.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But I want you to know, my friend, whether you're here this morning or you're listening to me on radio, I want you to realize that this verse has absolutely nothing to do with black skin. When we read verses like this, we need to understand the mind of God and the dream of God and the desire of God. And the desire of God is stated clearly in John's Gospel chapter 17. His desire is that his church be one. not only God's desire. God has created oneness in his church. Amen. He not only desires oneness in his church, he has created oneness in his church. I'm going to put on the screen for you Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28, so you can see what God did for you. The Bible says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer, help me out somebody, there is no longer what? Jew or Gentile, what? Slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Jesus has made us one. And if you want to know how he did it through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to talk about that because that's going to take me even longer. Some people think the baptism is when everybody jump up and break out into tongues. No, that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to make every Christian of every race, of every social class, is to make us one in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit as he baptized us all into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. He has baptized us into the one body of Christ. He has created unity. Amen. In those days, a Jewish man's morning prayers would begin something like this. Blessed are you, Lord, who has created me a man and not a woman, a Jew and not a Gentile, circumcised and not uncircumcised, free and not a slave. Isn't it amazing when you look at the verse? In light of what the man would pray, he would pray, God, I am glad I'm a man, not a woman. I'm glad I'm a Jew, not a Gentile. I'm glad I'm circumcised, not uncircumcised. I'm glad I'm free, not a slave. And Jesus comes along and he says, listen, there is no longer a Jew or a Gentile, a slave or a free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So young person, listen to me good. Don't let anybody let you believe you are not as good as they are. Oh, I want you young people to hear me good. Some of you adults need to hear me good. Because you have been raised in an environment where you are made to believe you're not as good as somebody else. It's a lie. God does not love anyone any more than he loves you. Oh, you need to know that. God loves no one any more than he loves you. Jesus would have come to die just for you. Hallelujah. Listen, listen good. If you're not achieving, we can blame anyone we want to blame. But today, God wants to release you from your prison. He wants to release you from your prison and to let you recognize that he has made you one. He has made you, listen, we are all in this together. He has baptized you into his body. He loves you infinitely. He loves you intensely. He has gifted you and he wants you to soar. May God help you to soar for Jesus. Amen. We've got to embrace God's dream. But secondly, we have to make every effort to keep the unity. Did you hear what I said? We need to make every effort to keep the unity. God is not asking us to create the unity. He did that by himself. He wasn't going to leave that up to us. He has created the unity. And all he's asking us to do is to make every effort. Oh, I hope you don't miss that part. Oh, some of us, you know, some of us aren't making much effort. I'm going to put Ephesians 4 on the board for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Here's what it says. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit. Just have you been called to one glorious hope. It's one. Are you getting it? It's what? It's one. It's one. There's not going to be a special heaven for some and not quite as good a heaven for others. It's one hope. What God is calling us to, my brothers and sisters, this business of maintaining the unity is not going to be easy. And every person in this congregation this morning needs to be committed to maintaining the unity. This is not the time to point fingers and to say, why didn't they do this or why didn't this one do that? This is a time for every individual Christian to make a commitment. God, I am going to do everything in to maintain the unity. Are you with me this morning? Black Christians need to do what they can to maintain the unity. White Christians, yellow Christians, no matter who you are, we each one need to embrace God's dream and commit to maintaining the unity that he has provided. Listen, if it's going to happen, we'll have to shake up the status quo. I know, you know, Dr. Billy Graham, I admired him deeply. Oh, I know there are some who will criticize him for this or that. I learned to preach listening to Billy Graham. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher, but I was drawn to listen to him every single Sunday. Effectively, I was taught by him. But I'll never forget reading about somewhere in the early 1950s. Billy Graham was preaching down south, and as usual, the crowd was segregated. They had a black section and a white section. Billy Graham left the platform and he went into the audience and he took down the ropes and he said, listen, I ain't preaching at no more segregated crusades. He shook up the status quo. Thank God for a man who was willing to shake it up.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you have done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.